This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, December 10th. I'm Lisa Young. We start today with a correction to a story we aired yesterday regarding the ribbon-cutting ceremony for a solar array in Delta. The story incorrectly stated that the solar array will provide nearly 900 kilowatts of power. According to a statement from Sand Hills Energy, the array will provide roughly 0.900 megawatts of power. Mesa County has asked a federal judge not to dismiss a lawsuit brought against Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser and Governor Jared Polis. The suit argues that a series of laws related to preventing local law enforcement from sharing immigration information with federal agents is unconstitutionally vague. Last week, Mesa County filed a motion in federal court arguing that by preventing law enforcement from sharing immigration information with federal law enforcement, the laws make it impossible for local law enforcement to conduct drug task force activities because the federal government maintains the national databases used in drug enforcement. More on this story can be found at gjsentinel.com. Delta Montrose Electric Association will hold a rate hearing at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, December 16th, at their Montrose office. Members unable to attend in person may still share feedback via mail. After reviewing member comments, the Board of Directors may vote on the proposed changes, and if approved, the new rates would take effect on January 1st of 2026. A recent survey shows that Colorado voters would award pro-animal rights candidates. Eric Galatis has more.
Each year, billions of chickens, cows, and pigs are raised, slaughtered, and fed to people in Colorado and across the U.S., but a recent survey by Faunalytics found that a strong majority of voters actually care a lot about the conditions these animals endure in concentrated animal feeding operations, also known as factory farms. For example, chickens are routinely kept in cages so small they can't even move. Research Director Allison Troy says 61% of voters surveyed across party lines said they would support candidates who work to improve animal welfare and reduce the number of animals in factory farms.
The candidates who adopted these kinds of pro-animal welfare positions not only were more popular in terms of they received more support, but they also were perceived as being more likable, more competent, and more empathetic.
A majority of conservatives, liberals, and moderates surveyed also said they would not vote for a candidate who promised to increase government subsidies to meat companies or remove animal welfare protections. Proponents of factory farming have long argued that it's the most efficient way to produce large quantities of affordable food. Factory farms have faced increased scrutiny as corporate farming practices have replaced family-scale ranches. Such operations produce an estimated 17 million tons of untreated manure a year in Colorado, and many are located along the South Platte River. Troy believes voters are concerned in part because the practice has become so prevalent.
In terms of animal welfare, in terms of the impacts on the environment, in terms of the impacts on the people who live in communities where these factory farms are, right? There are a lot of public health hazards associated with factory farms and living near them.
Troy says she hopes the new data will give more people running for office the confidence to talk about the impacts of factory farming.
I think that there's an assumption among many political insiders that these issues about factory farming and about animal welfare, that it's something that people don't care about. And I think that our data show that that's not true.
This is Eric Galatis for the Colorado News Connection.
The newly configured Montrose Board of County Commissioners addressed several items in their meeting last week. KVNF's Brody Wilson brings us the details.
On Monday, KVNF covered the leadership changes on the Montrose Board of County Commissioners, following the recent recall of former Commissioner Scott Majares. New Commissioner Kirsten Copeland was sworn in, and with a unanimous vote, Sue Hansen was appointed as chair. In that same meeting, Montrose County took up three major issues: new rules for power generation facilities, a reset of the county's public safety sales tax accounting, and the relaunch of a long-stalled county manager search. All three issues have been major and contentious issues for the county for the last several months, if not years in some cases. The most anticipated vote came on power generation facilities. A county moratorium has been in place for more than 2 years while commissioners debated how solar and other large-scale projects should be regulated. Planning Director Talmadge Richmond reminded the commissioners that the moratorium was expiring in less than 2 weeks.
There is a moratorium on power generation facilities until December that expires December 18th.
The primary power generation facility on the minds of planning staff and commissioners is solar generation. Planning Director Richmond presented two draft options. Alternative 1, which was favored by the planning staff, would allow these facilities in agricultural and industrial zones but require a special use permit where commissioners could add conditions based on location of the project and public comment. Alternative 2, drafted by Commissioner Pond, was stricter, limiting projects to industrial zones and writing more protections directly into the code. Commissioner Pond said his version was designed to protect sensitive landscapes.
So when I wrote alternative 2, it wasn't to kill the solar industry, as everybody is trying to say. It was literally to protect some of the things that me and a lot of people find spectacular about Colorado, with view sheds, our beautiful landscapes, the things that make Colorado beautiful, wildlife habitat, wintering corridors. Especially in the West End, again, I always bring up that I live over there where it's beautiful. And there's not a lot of places you could put a large solar facility that's not going to contaminate a view shed. So those things were put in there to protect, not to take away from.
After months of public debate and extensive community outreach by the county to assess public opinion, a process that has lasted more than 2 years, while a moratorium was in place on new solar development, commissioners ultimately approved Alternative 1, adding one requirement that all lighting at facilities must be downward directed to protect dark skies. The vote passed 2-1 with Pond opposed, he of course preferring his originally drafted Alternative 2. A full resolution with the final language returns December 17th for final approval. The board also changed course on how the county tracks revenue from its public safety sales tax, or the PSST, which funds most of the sheriff's office operations. Commissioners repealed a July resolution that had required the sheriff to manage two completely separate budgets. They said that structure created confusion and wasn't workable in practice.
The confusion that was generated with the two separate budgets is two separate budgets were not submitted. That puts us in a position where we, as the board, have to do something.
A new resolution consolidates everything into a single standalone sheriff's fund, containing both the county's general fund support and the full 70% of the PSST allocation.
There's really nothing different from what we've done before. This just clarifies more, maybe more poignantly, how the funding is allocated.
Commissioner Kirsten Copeland.
I do think that it provides clarity, which is always helpful. The accounting process is confusing. So I think that this provides a very clear and transparent way to see the 70% going directly into that fund, and then anything that's approved by the BOC also, BOCC, going into that fund as well.
Finally, the county will restart its search for a permanent county manager, a process that has been contentious, especially because recently Commissioner Pond and former Commissioner Majarez attempted to dramatically accelerate the hiring of a new county manager by shortening the internal and external job posting period to just 3 days, 45 to 60 days is more typical, thus leaving the likely only applicant to be the current interim county manager, David White. This was a move that Commissioner Hansen strongly opposed at the time, but in this recent meeting, things were very different. Human Resources Director Leslie Kwan requested authorization to open recruitment immediately.
The proposed recruitment would be a 45-day search, so I would post the position today, Thursday, December 4th, and it would close on January 18th, 2025, with a plan of hopefully wrapping up the entire thing if, again, everything were to align perfectly in early March.
Kwan said the county will broaden the search beyond Colorado, posting on national, executive-level job sites and sending recruitment brochures to county managers across the country.
Yeah, we're going to do the best we can to get as many qualified candidates as possible.
The commissioners approved the plan unanimously. A finalist could be selected as early as March. These three items, public safety sales tax, county manager hire, and the solar zoning regulations, have been contentious, and in the case of the zoning regulations, dragging on for years. And in this one meeting, all three were wrapped up. For KBNF News, I'm Brody Wilson.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. For more local and regional news, visit kvnf.org. I'm Lisa Young.